Welcome to 216, a link to the best randomizer podcast. I am your host, Fear Agent. Today on the show, we've got Will WC. I had a blast chatting with Will. Such a good dude, and was a blast getting to know him. And just hearing his story, I think you'll really enjoy this one. It's really good. Week two of the league is all wrapped up. There are three undefeated teams in the Invitational. JK LOL, 4-0. Last Locationeers, 4-0. And the Pugs, 4-0. Moms Everywhere are sad. Your mom's favorite rando team is currently 2-2. Gamachu was able to get the win over PRD Wong, and Shireen took an L to Foot Peel. It's AAD Keys this week. Again, I'm off, not playing this week. It's Gamachu and Shireen, and we are playing Leftovers Restocked. AAD Keys is almost all dungeons. So it doesn't actually have the all dungeons goal. It has a defeat Ganon goal, but it has the GT big key on the pedestal, so you have to pull Ped to complete GT. It's an interesting mode. I'm glad I'm not playing it. I'm not a big AD Keys fan anyways, but it tends to require a second mountain trip up to GT to go get the GT big key off of Ped. From what I've seen, it's a little bit more rare to get the GT big key before you go into GT in this mode. It's possible with the pendant layout, but more likely than not, feels like you're going to go into GT, get your big key or whatever you need for the final pendant. Go complete the pendant, pull the Ped, and then go back up to GT. New mode, people have different opinions. Some people love it, some people hate it. I'm not playing it, so it's whatever. I don't care. League's been fun, though. It's been pretty competitive in the Invitational. I haven't had a chance to really watch much of the Open. In fact, I haven't been able to watch much of the Invitational, except for the games that I've commentated. In our division, the Kakariko division, you've got five teams at 2-2. Amish Paradise, Fendrana Drifters, Sahas Kids, Tau Rumis, and our team are all 2-2. I imagine it's going to be that way throughout most of the season in that division. In the Lost Woods division, you got three teams at 3-1. You've got three teams at 1-3 and two teams at 2-2. And the 2-2 teams are the Salt Miners, who won the league last year, and 2Infinity and Pagog is also 2-2. The two of the stronger teams that you would think would be at the top are currently 500. Beats from the East, Fluff Around and Find Out, and the Bomb Squad, all 3-1. So that's pretty awesome. Skull Woods, you got the 1-4-0. You got 2 3-1s. Bolas Azulis is 500, and then Begon Pot, Farm Friends, Go, and Noble Foxes are all 1-3. And the Misery Mire is the same with the Pugs first at 4-0. The Bratwurst Buddies and Potato Pouch are 3-1. Cross Keys is 2-2. Then Motten Bashin, Rando Kids, Team Hime, and the Spec Rock Bonkers are all 1-3. We still have 5 weeks, so it's all going to get ironed out. But it's definitely interesting to see at the start of the season, you know, teams like my team, the Salt Miners, Infinity and Pagog, all being 500, show that, you know, can't predict these things. I think a couple tournaments finished up. Gamma won the AD Keys tournament again. He also won the SG Online spoiler tournament, beating Andy twice in a row to win that. So GG's to Gamachu, continuing his winning ways. I haven't really played much. Baldur's Gate 3 has completely taken over my life. It was a mistake to play this game. Not because I don't love it. I completely love it. That's the problem, is I'm playing it so much. I'm through the first two acts, and I'm just so enthralled in all of the different options. It's like side quests, the game. You have your main adventure, and then it can vary depending on who you talk to and what you stumble across. And there's whole sections and a whole different storylines that I have not been a part of because of the decisions that I made earlier, which I'm finding out later. I really want to go back and play through the game again and make some different decisions and kind of see some different outcomes. But holy shit, man, the game is totally taken over my life. It's super hard too, as someone that's not played a lot of RPGs, and for someone that's not familiar with D&D mechanics, I'm getting my ass kicked. But I'm also having fun figuring out how to beat it. I think that's the most fun part about it is challenging. And so far I've been able to overcome those challenges, but damn, is it hard. The game does not hold your hand at all, but it's taken away from me playing rando or even practicing. I mean, the next mode that I'll be playing in the league is spoiler co-op, and I won't be playing. I'll be running the spoiler log. So it's going to be a bit until I pick up a controller. I could do a pickup race here and there, but ain't nobody got time for that when you got to rescue people in Baldur's Gate. It's been a blast, and it's been fun to branch out from Mario and Zelda. So if you're looking for an interesting CRPG and you're into the Dungeons and Dragons stuff, I would check out Baldur's Gate 3. It's a lot of fun. It'll also suck your life away if you get into it like it has mine. All right, well, let's get to the interview with Will. I really love having good people on the show, and Will is good people. I feel like I've had a string of it this season, and it continues here. So let's get to it. Here's Will WC. All right, Will, super excited to have you on the show, man. Like, of all the people that I wanted to talk to, you've been high on my list, and it's just taken me way too long to get here. So we're coming into the end of season four, but I was like, I gotta get Will in before the season closes out, because you've been a part of the community for a while and we've had some interactions here or there. I don't think we've really raced, but such a good dude based off of our limited interactions. And I was like, I got to get to know this guy better. So first of all, thanks for doing the show, man.
Well, thank you for having me. That's quite a welcome, but I'm very happy to be on here and to be chatting with you and to kind of share a little bit more about my background and what got me into all this and what keeps me coming around, I guess.
Yeah, I'm really curious about your story, because I just feel like, and we're going to talk about it, but I don't know how long you've been a part of the community. It just feels like you've been here for a long time.
And there's a good reason why you may not know my origins here. I kind of slipped in under the radar back probably late 2017, early 2018.
Yeah. Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Let's start there. We usually go way back. Let's kind of start there first and then kind of work our way back. So when you say slipped under the radar, what do you mean?
So I found out, I've always, going back even further, I've known about the speedrunning community since probably the mid 2000s, stumbling onto like Speed Demos Archive and some of the tool assisted speedrun communities and stuff like that. So I've been aware of speedrunning as a concept for a very long time.
I see.
And had kind of followed along through that. And then somewhere along the lines, I think maybe possibly Sailor Neps posts on the Something Awful forums all the way back in forever ago might have been my introduction to Link to the Past Randomizer, and more specifically the racing of it.
I see. Okay, so you're connected to Nep and the Something Awful. So I've talked to a few of you then that have come from that area. That makes sense.
That ended up being what convinced me to get involved. It was something that I kind of knew existed, and finally, kind of sold me on the idea of watching some of the races. I found myself being intrigued in it, intrigued by the decision making, the logic behind it, and, kind of the information puzzle that's happening in addition to the speedrunning race, I guess you could say. So all of that, kind of attracted me to it. And I think Link to the Past, for a randomizer is very well suited for that sort of thing. It has a lot of, interesting cases, but it's almost like the game was in a way designed to fit into this sort of mechanic, even though it didn't, even though it obviously wasn't.
Right. So you said you were interested in speedrunning. Were you doing your own speedruns? Were there games that you were speedrunning, or is it you were just a fan?
So I do have a little bit of a background in it. I was mostly just a fan in terms of following along and kind of watching runs, but I did have a little bit of a hobby project that I did for a year or two where I speed ran a beloved childhood game of mine, which was Mega Man 4, but the Game Boy version. The one that does not get the respect and love that it deserves, possibly out of the entire classic Mega Man series, as expansive as that is. Mm-hmm. It's very, very good game. At the time, there were no anywhere that I could find, at least among English speaking internet, any speed runs or tool assisted speed runs or anything of it. So this would have been probably around 2010 or so. Was doing all of the routing for that and kind of all of the strategy stuff pretty much solo. I had a couple people that I eventually connected with and bounced ideas off of and that sort of thing. But that was kind of my main speedrun thing for a while. I did a little bit of helping with tool assisted speedruns again with the Mega Man kind of Game Boy game series, but had a loose connection to the community, but never really gotten all the way in.
Okay. Was that a game that you were playing as a kid a lot?
Yeah. in terms of the Mega Man games, definitely. Yeah.
Okay. So yeah. Is Mega Man 4 just a Game Boy game, or was it also on the NES? Or?
So it was the Game Boy Mega Man games are kind of weird in that they mix bosses from, and they had this kind of tradition going through where they mixed bosses for Mega Man 1 and 2 for the first Mega Man Game Boy game. Mm-hmm. And then they kept doing that. So there are bosses from 2 and 3 and 2 for Game Boy, et cetera. And then in 5, they finally decided to just scrap it and go with entirely new robots. All right.
Okay. So 4 draws from 2 and 3, basically?
4 draws from 4 and 5 for the NES.
Oh,
so
okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But all of the, so the bosses are copies, but the stages themselves are original.
Oh, and, okay.
Yeah.
That's so interesting.
And it has, it has a different sort of mechanic feel to it in a way, where the Game Boy games have this sort of, you know, obviously the much smaller screen than the NES had. So the rooms tend to be designed in a more sort of puzzle it out fashion than some of the NES games were, which are more reflex and action based. It makes for a kind of interesting contrast using the same Mega Man mechanics.
For sure. So were you playing the NES as a kid? What were you playing? I'm not sure how old you are. I would, you're playing Link to the Past Randomizer, so I put you in the over 30 range, but I could be wrong. I don't know.
Yeah, so I'm 38 now. I did not have any home consoles until the N64. That was my first one, other than the Game Boy, which made sense because I was on the road a lot for various reasons. Family was traveling pretty much back and forth across the state every weekend. So the Game Boy made a lot of sense for me to have, and I logged a lot of good hours in the car and at, you know, all over the place with that thing.
So you're running through AA batteries a lot. Yeah. Then.
We very quickly discovered the economies of the rechargeable battery packs. And
yeah. The thing ate through those batteries. So.
Oh my God. Yes.
So what were you playing besides Mega Man?
I had a pretty expansive library. Any of the Mario platforming style games were all a lot of fun. Link's Awakening was my first Zelda game, and still, I think in a emotionally my favorite. Although I would dare say that it's been eclipsed by a few other entries in the series since then. In terms of what is the best Zelda game, it always has a very soft spot in my heart for being my first one and kind of puzzling my way through that game in the pre-internet age.
For sure. Not an easy game to get through. None of the early Zelda games were really easy as children, right? Like, I feel like having to figure out a lot of like the cryptic clues can be pretty tough.
As I say, you know, they made more and more attempts at, you know, kind of refining the series. So by Link's Awakening, they had gotten, there were still a couple of particular gotchas in that game. The hint for the big key in level 2 that requires you to know the name of the enemies. It was one that confounded me for a very long time.
Yeah.
Given that they are not mentioned anywhere in the game.
Right. Right. Just have to figure it out, I guess.
Yeah. We all know what a pole's voice is.
Totally.
That's a normal thing to know as an 8-year-old.
Totally. So you're playing a lot of Game Boy then. Were you playing anything else like at friends' house or other family members' house?
I mean, I had my connections to the NES, Super Nintendo, and Genesis all came from having a lot of close friends and playing it over at their houses and that sort of thing. So, you know, I kept up with gaming pretty well, and I had, you know, was familiar with Link to the Past and had, you know, maybe gotten to piddle around on a friend's places, but that's not really a game that you go over to someone's house and play.
Right.
In the same way that you would with, say, Mortal Kombat or Madden in those times.
Totally.
So my first time actually playing Link to the Past was probably not until maybe about a decade after it came out, when kind of emulation was more of a common thing.
Yeah, that makes sense. So you got into the Nintendo 64 then? That was your first actual home console?
Yeah, that was my first console. And then I've had a very, you know, had most of the consoles through the 2000s. And then now I'm kind of more of just, I keep up with the Nintendo consoles. And then maybe every once in a while, I think about doing the PlayStation or Xbox thing. But I don't have tons of excess time for gaming, especially on top of, you know, what I try to do with the Link to the Past speed running as well.
Sure. What were you playing on 64? Did you have an expansive library for that one too?
Yeah, pretty good library, obviously. For whatever reason, I loved Ocarina of Time, but never could get into Majora's Mask. And I've given it probably two or three different tries and just not been able to mentally mesh with that game in the same way.
Sure.
I think the day mechanic, or like the time mechanic of it, kind of introduces pressures on me in a way that I find
stressful.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's one of those games that I'll keep giving it a try because I know how good everyone says it is. And I want to, you know, I want to like it, but I just haven't been able to get through it yet. Whereas Ocarina of Time, you know, which is effectively, you know, the same engine, plays the same. It's a fond favorite of mine. It's
not quite as scary, right? You're not as constrained on time.
Yeah, it has its moments of kind of surrealism and a little bit of horror, but it's not that same sense of doom that Majora's Mask conveys.
Sure. I mean, the clock is ticking.
Yes.
Majora's Mask, you gotta move. Even when you don't really like it, there is plenty of time to do all this stuff, but just knowing that you only have this X amount of time, it sort of adds that extra pressure. I totally get it.
Yeah. It changes the way that you play. And like the way that I'm used to playing Zelda games is I want to poke every single nook and every single cranny that's out there.
Right, when I'm playing through them the first time.
Yeah.
When you have the clock ticking, right?
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Like, so I think that may be why it just didn't vibe with me in that way. But it's one of those things where one of these days I'll get in the right mindset for it and we'll give it a go.
Sure. GoldenEye, doing that kind of stuff. Mario Kart as well.
Yeah, I mean, any of the big, any of the big games. I really enjoyed a lot of the 3D platformers that era. Banjo-Kazooie is probably my favorite singular game on that console.
Sure, it's a good one.
Yeah.
So at this point, this is like late 90s. Do you start going into other consoles, or is it all Nintendo? Like you mentioned. About doing PlayStation, Xbox recently.
Yeah, I had the first three PlayStation consoles. So, you know, I was being a relatively nerdy high schooler, college kid. You know, those were pretty common at the time that I was going through that stage of life.
Mm-hmm. So you did branch out to like, did you have a 360 or a PlayStation 2?
Yeah, I had a 360 as well. And played a variety of games across those. I've never been like a big first person shooter guy. Some of the RPGs, although I kind of stopped having time for especially the bigger like JRPG style games by about college.
Sure. What was your favorite style of game then? If like the JRPGs were too long because of obviously time and you weren't into first person shooters, was it more adventure game stuff? Or?
Yeah, I'd say, you know, largely adventure games, either of the kind of 3D platforming or of the Zelda style exploration. Metroidvania, whole genre there has been a favorite of mine. And, you know, there's a lot of good releases for that, especially in the past few years, but on Steam and everywhere else. So that's where I play through a lot of those.
Yeah, that makes sense. As far as competition goes, are you competitive? Did you have a competitive streak as you were growing up? Did you play sports or anything that would kind of fuel the competitive nature?
I wasn't super competitive, but I've always had a little bit of a streak for that. So I've done some sports, like intramural sports, and then it's a little bit of adult league sports, but not at a highly competitive level, more recreational. And that's, in a way, that's kind of how I approach Link to the Past Rando as well, in that it's, you know, I compete in it, but I don't, you know, the goal isn't domination of the of the arena here.
Sure. Yeah. You're here to have fun and you're going to do the best that you can. And that's it, right? Like, you're just going to do the best that you can. It doesn't have to be, you don't have to be the champ of every tournament or everything.
Right. So, I mean, you know, circling back around on how I got into Rando itself, you know, my dipping my toe in was a lot of the big, you know, daily race that you could jump into and get exposed to kind of a lot of the same people. And first time I did that, I remember my goal being to just not come in last, which I succeeded at. I came third from last.
Nice.
And
yeah, that's a good goal. I mean, I think we all hope just don't finish last. That's like the one goal. It's not win, just don't finish last. And I get that.
Yeah. And then, you know, someone's got to finish last. So no shame to that. But it was, you know, the bare minimum goal that you can set beyond just finishing the seed, which I had already, you know, I'd played through a few on my own and gotten comfortable there. But yeah, it was just kind of dipping my toe in and then seeing some races. And then finally I start, you know, eventually I get lucky and hit on a route or something like that. Or I have, have a respectable result and get to feel good about that. And
right. I think what makes Link to the Past great is the fact that when you're new, sometimes you can just hit the route, right? And it kind of works out and it's addicting, right? Because you don't have to be the best player at the game to win.
Right. And I kind of at least dabbled in the, you know, poker during the online poker phase of the 2000s. So, you know, I have that already kind of understanding of sometimes you're going to be an 80-20 underdog and you're going to win. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so you try not to get too attached to those moments, but you celebrate them all the same because the money's coming your way. Right.
Sure.
And at the sometimes same time, you have to accept that sometimes you're the 80-20 favorite and
right.
you're going to get sucked out on. And, totally. You know, there's nothing you could do that would have reasonably prevented it. And that's the
sometimes
way
you've got pocket aces and you still lose. Right. Like it just happens.
I was going to say that analogy has served me more than a few times in how I kind of approach rando as well.
How deep did you get into the poker craze?
Enough to waste a couple $100 and then decide that I wasn't going to waste any more money. So I was, you know, just one of those little short-term fish.
Sure. I feel like I was in the same boat where it's like, you know, moneymaker hits and you're like, who's this guy? And, you know, kind of everyone's like, the everyman can now win the World Series of Poker and to an extent, but it takes a lot of money to get there. And
right.
It's hard to win. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, even just keeping up from a distance with like how the meta has evolved in poker, I'm glad that didn't become a long term interest for me.
Sure, yeah, man, it could be tough. I couldn't imagine, you know, trying to run and, you know, you hit big, but you're also losing big a lot of times as well.
Exactly,
everything that goes along with that is just tough. It'd just be tough lifestyle to live. So you find you're familiar with the speedrun stuff since you're running a little bit of the Mega Man 4 speedrun in TAS. Does that introduce you to Twitch and the idea of streaming?
So I had been on Twitch as part of the Mega Man, you know, speedrunning and stuff like that. Actually, one of the guys who was the very first person that I really connected with, Mr. Cab, has recently started running a lot of rando races and done a lot of ladder and a few other pickup races, I think. So it's been fun kind of getting him help situated into the community a little bit too, since I've known him for literally over a decade now from the Mega Man speedrunning, which he still does as well.
That's awesome. What about the Something Awful awful forums? How did you find that and get connected to some of the people in rando like Nep?
God help me how I found Something Awful forums.
I guess a fan of the comedy that they were putting out.
You dig around and long enough on the sewers of the internet and you end up at Something Awful. And eventually you pay $10 for a forums account. And I don't have explanation for how it happens. It just happens.
Just happens. Totally. What about where the rando people that you get to know, where is the connection there? Was it just certain people hanging out in the certain part of the forum, or
it was basically it started from the forum thread. Eventually a Discord server got made where I got to know a few of the people there a little bit better. It also helped that this thread kind of popping up was timed shortly before the Giganto 512 Swiss Spring Tournament of 2018, has been told through the lore of the rando community through the years.
Sure.
And I was participant in that, kind of got a couple of lucky matchups in the first two rounds where, I think both the other people that I played were sort of brand new to it and just kind of messing around with it a little bit. Not that I was a whole lot better at that point, but you know, even for where I was at that point, there was a kind of obvious gap. I remember mm-hmm. one of the races, the guy I won against complained because he forgot to check Hype Cave.
Mm.
So that's kind of where we were at. In
the, yeah. Forgetting Hype Cave is pretty crazy.
Yeah.
So I can't believe you've been a part of the community that long. That means you were here before I was, but I don't feel like you were running a lot of races, or else you were doing it with a different group of people. Did you stop playing, or were you not racing a lot, or was I just not beyond, in the circle?
Beyond that tournament, I kind of backed out of the community a little bit. I think there were, I think there might have been either 2018 or 2019, a little bit of small tournament among the Something Awful group that I participated in. I don't remember very much about that, other than at some point I got mashed up against Blaine, and that didn't go well.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, it doesn't go well. That story ends the same for a lot of people. You get matched up against Blaine.
Go a whole lot different if it happened today. Let's just put it that way. But yeah, mostly I it wasn't anything that you know, there was no dislike of it or anything. It was just that life got a little bit busier for me, and it became something I stepped away from in focus of other things. Had, you know, like a new relationship that started kind of not long after that. You know, just various life things like that. So I kind of fell back out of the rando community, although I still kept up with it, at least from, you know, following some of the like speed gaming races and stuff like that. So I knew about, you know, I knew and followed along a little bit with the first season of League, and, you know, knew about Ladder when that was coming about, but wasn't really actively involved with the community at that point until, you know, March of 2020. Some things happened. All of a sudden I had a lot more free time, and hey, there's this new rando ladder thing that we can go play on. And so, you know, played a couple D-Rust seeds, said, okay, well, enough of the muscle memories there that I can go hack my way through whatever. And Ladder was my gateway drug back into the community.
I see. Okay, so I'm not crazy then. I think that's a relief. Like,
there was a good solid give or take 2 year span where I was effectively inactive within the community.
Sure. Okay.
Or at least nothing more than just generic Twitch chatter number 7.
Right. You're not racing, you're not entering tournaments and doing that kind of thing. So are you still involved with the Something Awful crew? Did it feel like that was your community when you were around?
They were the first ones that I really like had a connection with beyond just, you know, being in races together. So, and in that sense, yes, there have been a few, just for fun sort of tournaments. The last one that we did was the Cheetah Mint, which was, a race or a tournament where all races were done under the idea that cheating was legal. So you could stream snipe or, you know, do whatever kind of goofy things you wanted to, as long as it wasn't like you couldn't do
EG into.
Yeah. Like EG and stuff like that, or like, you know, nothing that you could abuse an emulator for or stuff like that. But in general, it was just like, go have some fun and goof off. I think I ended up losing that one due to whatever random number generator that was used to resolve the finals that never actually happened of that tournament.
Nice.
So I came runner up in that one, and I feel kind of cheated about it. And that feels particularly on the nose. So
sure.
I'd say it was a success.
Yeah, I would say so. Did you find other people in the community that you were connecting to then, as you kind of came back in 2020?
So yeah, there were a few faces that are like a few names that I knew from racing back in 2018 that I connected back to. And one thing that helped with the community a little bit was that the very first ladder stream I did, I had someone, you know, in my stream saying hey to me and like, you know, really chatting with me and like, you know, getting me, you know, talking me through things, you know, not in a like providing help way, but just, you know, chatting with me and like, came to find out that was actually someone that I knew from college who had also found their way into the Link to the Past from rando community. But I didn't know it was that person from college, nor did I was just, to me, it was this complete stranger at the time.
Wow.
So
what a small world.
Yeah. So, that's Slowpoke 316. I think he at least as of last year did ladder in the open league or league in the open division. Sorry, excuse me.
Okay.
And then I didn't see if he was on the participating again this year. I haven't kept up with the I didn't see the reveal stream recently.
OK. Did you keep up with speedrunning at all? Like, did you were you still doing Mega Man speedruns or did you dip your toe into anything else?
I never really got too much into anything else outside of that. There were a few times that I started, especially like early 2010s, I started considering branching out into some other runs, but I never really got the urge to do it all that much. The last time I really jumped into anything new was got talked in by a coworker of mine to trying out the Best of NES gauntlet of challenges.
It's like the 20, is it like 20 games or something? Yeah, like that?
20 games, and you have goals that range from, you know, beat the game to just beat a certain level or input a password and do this one thing, you know. So there's a variety of different ways that they kind of keep that, keep the variety up in that. But that was a fun challenge to do.
Did you complete it?
I didn't do the official competition, but I did at least get to the point of it wasn't enough that I was ready to do the actual day of race, but I did it on my own, and it was still a lot of fun getting to learn a bunch of different games and discovering a couple that I really, you know, that I never would have heard of or even touched otherwise that I actually really enjoyed.
Like what?
Iron Sword.
Iron Sword.
Yes.
This is a NES game?
Yeah, it's a NES game, Iron Sword. I think it was like Dungeons and Dragons 2 Iron Sword or something like that.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Is it Wizards, like a side? Wizards and Warriors 2.
Oh, okay. I see. Yeah. That's like a side scroller adventure, sort of like beat 'em up, right?
Yeah, it's like that. You have you play as this knight who has some very goofy looking eyes and has a sword that has a hitbox of approximately 2 pixels. I know I'm not doing the best job of selling it, but it's actually really good.
Do you get to play as Fabio as well?
Yes.
That's awesome. Because I'm looking at the cover and that has to be Fabio on the cover. It's a very like, you know, romance novel sort of cover with swords and stuff. Yes. That's hilarious. Yes,
it's Fabio that's underneath that helmet.
Okay. So you're able to discover some fun games that necessarily, you're not going to speed run, but you at least had fun playing.
Yeah, exactly.
That's cool. So you come back during, you know, when things are shut down, you start running the ladder, you're getting more involved in the community, right?
Yeah, I'd say I'm getting more involved in the community and also trying to, at this point, I'm actually, you know, putting in, you know, more of an effort to work on some of the speed tricks and consistency and that sort of thing. I had a pretty good baseline in terms of the bomb jumps and dark rooms and stuff like that from when I had gotten into Rando in 2018. Those were things that I picked up pretty quickly and only needed a little bit of a refresher on. So actually learning some of the boss strategies and practicing, getting familiar with the practice hack and stuff, all made, you know, helped make that transition up, you know, through the ranks a little bit, a lot more doable for me.
Sure. Did you run any NMG for practice?
I've goofed off with it a little bit, but I do not have the mindset for that game in particular in speedrunning, just because I find it so, you know, one mistake and things have gone horribly wrong kind of in a lot of different places. So I've found myself to not particularly enjoy the NMG speedrun. And
I get it. Yeah, I get it.
Yeah, I for whatever reason, you know, even though it's I like the aspect of Rando where you're kind of constantly figuring things out on the fly and adjusting to your item sets and stuff like that. That aspect of it is more fun to me, the improvisation, than necessarily the rote skills of, you know, having to learn, you know, not necessarily that everything in NMG is rote for sure, but the general, you know, what you're going in, what your equipment is for a boss fight, et cetera, et cetera. Yep.
Totally. So how did you enjoy the ladder?
Ladder was, it hooked me pretty quick. I went out and lost a bunch of races at the start and I expected to, and that was fine. But, you know, getting to talk with opponents after the races, and this was before, you know, even the threading for races. So everyone's having their conversations back and forth at each other in the post-race chat. And you can kind of that's a pretty good way to at least eavesdrop in on other people's conversations and, you know, actually connect with people and talk with people that you've seen around. The other thing that I was doing a lot at that time was checking out streams of, you know, the really good runners and finding ones who, you know, had mic on and would talk through what they were doing. Especially some of the guys who were into cross keys, which was something that I wanted to learn about. So guys like Zell Goodson, Wall Kicks, Goomba, back when he streamed more often. Those were a lot of the guys that I was, you know, watching a lot of streams of and occasionally chatting, but mostly just trying to kind of pick up knowledge and ask questions when it made sense and
sure
learn things a little bit more. And obviously you pick up, you know, those sorts of guys all have execution chops as well. So you pick up a lot, a lot of things. And they're all very, you know, I mentioned that improvisation thing, but, you know, they're all very cerebral runners and they all have good awareness of, you know, what their items are and how they can use them to their advantage, even in niche situations. So right. That was something that I, you know, that I picked up a lot of from watching those guys as well.
For sure. I mean, Zelga's one of the best at learning from. I mean, one, the dude just plays the game so well and is really good at explaining what's going on, you know, like what's going on in his head, how he assesses the seed. And it's such a helpful way of learning how to get better, for sure.
Right. And there's, you know, I mean, obviously there's lots of guys who are, you know, doing that. But those are the ones that I found in 2020, and they had the, you know, just the, they all kind of promote a generally chill vibe and have a good sense of humor and can, you know, obviously have the game knowledge and execution chops to back it all up. So
for sure. I'm looking at your ladder results and your first five races are losses.
But yeah.
Three of your opponents are Ramon, Moogle Charm, and D Demolisher. Like, you got thrown in like right into the deep end. That's tough. Like, of course you're going to lose your first few races
That race against Ramond was my very first completed cross keys seed.
Yeah,
I was just going to play the mode for fun. I thought, okay, whatever. I've already lost a bunch of races. I've lost a few races. I'm sure I won't get matched up against anyone that good, right? So I think Ramond only had a handful of ladder results at the time as well, given this was early days of the ladder. And we got matched up, and I did not know who he was at that point. I learned.
Yeah.
I've since very much learned, and I've learned he's another person that I've learned a lot from. But that very first race, he was the first finisher in the race, and I was the last finisher in the race hours afterwards.
Oh, man.
So
that's pretty funny.
That was my baptism into cross keys ladder racing.
I'm surprised he kept going, but I feel like that's a baptism of fire, I guess, right?
Yeah.
Like, just against one of the best cross keys runners in the community.
To be sure, it was a great VOD to watch back the next day and learn from.
For sure.
So, and Ramon's a super cool guy.
Yeah, for sure. Big fan of Ramon. Teamed up with him last season and learned a lot, especially doing some of the co-op retro and stuff.
Yeah.
Dude's just really, really smart. So you and I have actually raced one time on the ladder. Did you know that?
I do know that. And I do remember what happened in that one as well.
I don't. So you have to tell me.
I wasn't going to be that guy that corrected you earlier when you said we hadn't raced, but this one stuck out to me. This was, again, pretty early on, I think, in the ladder. And I was having, we were doing, as I remember, it was some open or Kaz Boots type mode.
Ambrosia.
Yep. And it was an ice rod hunt type seed. And I was going to Turtle Rock and my controller disconnected while I was on top of the mountain. I was just like, well, screw this. I didn't know. I play on emulator. SNES 9X, and I didn't know about the menu option that you could do that will just like resync the controllers and have it work automatically. So I was just like, I don't know what to do, and I don't know if this is legal or not, but I'm just going to do a save state here and then reload the emulator.
Oh, man.
And there's this fear agent guy who I had seen around in my chat, and he's like, yeah, you can't do that. I was like, okay, cool, whatever. And I forfeited. And then it was like the sphere agent guy is like, oh yeah, I was your opponent for the race. I forfeited because I didn't feel like looking for ice rod after TR. It's not there.
Oh man. That's that was so funny. That was my introduction to you, huh?
Yeah, that was our introduction to each other. Wow. it was such a weird and silly thing that I had to remember that little detail.
I hope I wasn't too much of an asshole.
No, you weren't at all. I was basically like, I think I even like openly said, like, if someone knows if this is illegal, tell me and I'm just going to forfeit, because I was having a miserable time with the seat as well. So it was not one that I was particularly looking forward to going on going on the ice rod hunt after TR, which you had apparently already done and said nope to the rest of it.
That's so hilarious. So our one race is a tie, a double forfeit tie.
Yes,
that's
our hilarious. One race was a double forfeit tie. And that's how it happened. That's so good.
So you're playing the ladder. Man, that's just too funny. You're playing the ladder. Do you start joining other tournaments? Like, it looks like you joined the league in season 3.
Yeah. So I forget what the exact ordering was. I guess, yeah, it would have been league would have been the next major thing that happened, because I didn't do the Cross Keys tournament in 2020. It happened, or like the, I think that was the one that had the qualifiers, and it happened right before I had gotten into playing the mode.
Okay.
So yeah, league was my first exposure to competition outside of that 2018 main tournament and ladder.
So how did you joined the Kakariko Brew Crew?
Yeah. So
with who is it?
Slumberjack and Sokol.
Okay.
Slumberjack, I had known from, we had basically connected after a couple of ladder races facing off against each other and chatting with each other kind of more regularly after that. You know, I think we just followed each other. This was the days of, again, COVID times. So I was, if anytime I raced someone new that I didn't know about, I'd check their like Twitch stream the next day. And if they seemed cool, I'd give them a follow. Mm-hmm. That's where I was in 2020. And sure. as I think a lot of us were.
Mm-hmm.
But so yeah, Slumberjack and I hooked up, and then he had a connection with Sokol, and I said, okay, if you say he's cool and vouch for him, I'm good with that. So we, you know, just started hanging out together and doing voice call races, and we did a lot of, you know, especially that first season, we did a lot of training each other up as far as teaching each other some of those, you know, those strats, and, you know, talking through how we process seeds, you know, routing and stuff like that. So I think it was a good, you know, it was a really good experience. Both of those guys are very easy to get along with. I know neither of them stream quite as much now as they were in 2020, but Slumberjack is still around. I know he's doing league this year with Begone Pot again.
Okay.
Sokol pops in and does ladder races, I think, when he has the time as well.
Sure. So, I mean, talk about your experience. You guys are learning, but did you have fun that season?
Yeah, we had a ton of fun. I think we kind of expect, none of us were particularly well-known names at that point. And so I think we kind of surprised some people that season just by being still, you know, at least in contention for the playoffs going into the final weekend, although we would have needed to beat win a pair of co-op races against Ramond and Rowland Tanky in the open division.
Right.
So that would have been a tall order for any team, I think.
For sure. But you went 7-7 though. Like, you can't,
we went 7-7. We had a lot of fun. We played, you know, some close races, and generally we came back and we ran it back the next season, the three of us, and we did make the playoffs that season. So
yeah, we're 10-4 regular season, and then looks like you lost to Dante Made Us Join.
Yeah, blame Dante as always.
For sure. But that had to feel pretty good, like coming back. I feel like, you know, not only did you come back with the same people, which is always cool because it means you at least had some sort of a connection, but you guys had to feel like you improved as well, right?
We definitely all felt like we had leveled up a little bit, and there was kind of a confidence that was present, especially the second season, that wasn't there the first season.
Sure.
And that made, you know, I think that made it a lot more satisfying experience in the end. We had to kind of claw our way into the playoffs in that second season as well. I think we won the last 5 races of the season or something like that to get in.
Yeah, super streaky team. You guys win the first 3, lose the next 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, and then win the rest of the way until you get into the playoffs. So
yeah.
And 9-1, dude. Damn, that's impressive.
Yeah, it was a good season.
Yeah, I would say so. So you get the call up into the Invitational the following season. You join To Infinity and Pagok. Tell me about that. How did that kind of happen?
I had started putting out some feelers for, people I knew that would be interested in potentially doing, either forming a new team or any openings that were coming open, but wanted to be an Invitational League. I felt like it was not necessarily saying that I'm the god of Rando, but I felt like it was a good, just a better fit for, competitive races and stuff, which is really what I'm in it for. Not so much the record by my name. So I was looking for that and had asked around, didn't have any great leads for a while. And then out of the blue got hit up by Relkin asking if I was interested in a team with him and Humbug. And I did not have to take terribly long to think that one over.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I'm super jealous of that team. Like, let me join Relkin and Humbug. Those two are awesome and really good too.
Yeah, no, and we've had a lot of fun together. We've done, we've done the practicing and stuff like that, but also just occasionally, hanging out and doing a chill race together. And obviously, we spend a lot of time in each other's streams. I've gotten to know both of them quite a bit better from the time that from the time that was pitched up until, now actually going through a league season together and coming back and doing it again this year. Love both of them. It's a lot of fun.
I love that. This is my favorite thing about the league is the fact that it pairs people up and then you can actually become friends with people where, you actually want to hang out with them, not just because of Rando. I love it. I love that the league does that.
Yeah. I mean, we need to get Humbug out of Sweden. I know. And, to a reasonable time zone. It doesn't have to be, but other than that, exactly. Like league is a lot of fun because you're doing things with people you might not necessarily have spent the same amount of time with outside of that.
And yeah.
I think that's beautiful.
It is. It's really awesome. So tell me about your first experience in the Invitational because, 7-1, dude, in a tough division too. Like, we were in the same division. We didn't play each other that week, but you guys go 7-1 and make the playoffs in a really competitive division. I mean, the Invitational is competitive as it is, but
yeah, I don't want to sit here and say I luck sacked, but there was certainly some amount of making a couple of right gambles. I remember, in some of the individual races, they were either pretty narrow victories, like the race against Purdy Wong in the Cross Keys week, I know was a pretty close one. And then the race against Trinex and Kaz Boots week, I remember being one that came down to a particular flip a coin on whether you go to TR for searching for Ice Rod or not. And I made the right call on that one. So, I don't want to say, and a lot of the other weeks were the co-op weeks, which, say what you will, but Humbug and Relkin are pretty good co-op partners to have by your side. Yeah,
for sure.
So, it was still a successful season. Obviously we were a little disappointed going out and in three games right at the playoffs. We
shocked. I was shocked.
I wasn't shocked. That team is a bunch of guys that I also know pretty well from another Discord server. And I'm not surprised by any of those individual results because they're all very good runners. And I think that team in particular has some names that don't get the recognition that,
100%.
That they're due.
Yeah. But I'm just like to take nothing away from Ikeer, Purd Wong, and Flip Hill, all excellent runners. No doubt. Shocked that they went 3-0 against you guys because you guys are good too. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
it's, I expected a very competitive, probably go to game five with the six of you just because it's six really good runners. So for them to sweep you guys, I remember just being, I was shocked. And again, not to take away from their talent. It's just six really talented individuals and a sweep didn't seem likely in my opinion.
Exactly. But that's how Rando goes. I don't think any of us had a particular, we really screwed this up to blow this race or anything like that. It was just, they navigated the seeds faster than we did, and I think in all three cases, and that's what are you going to do?
Yeah. So this will come out after the league has started, but your team is actually playing the kickoff race. Are you doing that race?
I am not. So I knew week one was going to be out for me entirely because of travel. So that one was going to be Humbug and Relkin regardless, but they're going to be, I know the kickoff matchup, Telethar and GGW are going to be facing off against Humbug and Relkin.
Yeah, what a way to kick the season off. That's huge.
Yeah,
the Salt Miners, GGW, and at least the Telethar against Relkin and Humbug. That's a spectacular.
I gotta say, for us looking for a little bit of a confidence boost coming out in week one after the playoffs last year.
Yeah,
not the easy way to start it out.
Yeah,
both of those dudes are mad good runners, and you put the two of them together, and it's gonna be you're really gonna have to be on your game, or you're gonna get stomped against those two. So.
But I mean, Relkin and Humbug can do it. Like, those are two guys that if someone's going to, take the Salt Miners out, it could be those two.
Yeah. I mean, they both know how to play smart co-op, which is, not something that we get tons of practice at, but
yeah,
that the various strategies for co-op and the ways that they think about it they're very good at it. And I mean, I know that Telethar and GGW are too.
Yeah. It's just a spectacular matchup. As far as like ratings go, this is what you want to see, where it's just powerhouse versus powerhouse.
It very much has that NBC Thursday night kickoff,
full
blowout.
Yeah. Pull out the red carpet, because this is going to be a big one. So expectations for the season, are they again hope to make the playoffs?
Yeah, I think playoffs is, obviously the goal of the team is we want to win the division, and we feel like we're capable of it. But, again, we got the defending champs in week one, and there's several other, good teams. I'm not going to sit here and call out who's good and who maybe is perceived as not in our division, because,
you don't want to be a dick, right?
And who the hell knows? If someone that I don't call out goes 12-2 and kicks our ass, then I'm just going to feel extra silly about it.
Stupid. So yeah, for sure.
I'm not going to give the bulletin board material, basically.
Yeah.
But
like if homemade beer, you're not going to call out homemade beer for beating you because he's a clown, right? Like you're not, don't want to call homemade beer a clown, even though he is, and he still might win. And then.
Okay. He's the one I probably would.
Okay.
I'm talking a little.
So what about other competitive tournaments? Have you entered a lot of the main tournament or the Kaz Boots or Cross Keys tournaments?
Yeah. So Cross Keys tournament I've been doing since from 2021 on. Have yet to finish with a losing record in it, but also have yet to reach the play-in game. So
yeah.
4-4, 5-3, 5-3.
Just on the cusp. Yeah.
Yeah. But still have a lot of fun with it. I like the Swiss format for that one. Just kind of being a lower commitment, and just it's one that I have fun with. I don't stress about cross keys. The main tournament was one I did in 2021 and 2022. Made it to brackets in both of those, but then got bounced in the round of 64 both times by Ball Kicks and then by Matcap.
Okay.
But
tough. I mean, it's just tough, right?
Yeah.
Tournaments are tough, especially when you make it into the brackets like that. So what's your relationship with racing? Do you feel like you have a pretty healthy relationship with the game and where you're at?
I think where I'm at now, I do. This year, 2023, has been me stepping away a little bit from Rando in terms of how often I've raced and how many tournaments I participated in. I did skip the main tournament this year, largely out of a little bit of life reorientation, but also a little bit of burnout in terms of just how often I was playing. And I think that's helped a little bit in terms of mindset going in. When I sit down to play, I'm not thinking about, okay, I have to do, this race and then two more this weekend to get through round one of groups. And then I have, potentially two more races after that. And, there's none of that. It's just like, especially with league, with cross keys, you're doing one race, maybe two a week. In very particular cases with the league stuff, but overall, I think that's been a healthier balance for me than trying to do all of the tournaments and all of the things.
Sure. Yeah, it's hard to balance real life and play this game a lot and trying to keep it all fun, right? Like, that's the whole goal, is to hopefully have fun. And sometimes we kind of burn ourselves out. It's like, it's the game's addicting, right? That's the problem. Is,
yeah, it is.
It's addicting to play.
And, you know, even it's addicting to play competitively, it's addicting to play just casually. Like, yeah, there's a ton of fun to be had, and, you know, just cranking up a door seat and, you know, just sipping a, you know, fruity beverage or whatever you have around and mm-hmm. and playing through that. You know, doing the multi-worlds and stuff is a ton of fun, and I would love to do more of those if I had the time for it right now. But
sure,
you know, there's a lot of different other ways than just doing the races, especially the races where you don't get to interact, like, you know, that have stream delays and things like that. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of different ways to stay engaged and enjoy the game that, you know, tournaments aren't the end all be all of that.
Right. Totally. Do you, or have you volunteered? Were you ever part of the council or part of like an admin team or a mod team for anything? Have you volunteered for stuff outside of racing?
So I've done a little bit. I never really wanted to jump onto the council. I think Dante tried to twist my arm for it for a while. I might have applied one of the times, but never something that I've really pursued beyond that. I am a moderator for the league, although that's more, you know, really that's more doing a lot of the database logging and stuff like that, kind of the technical janitor work rather than necessarily moderating and leading in a lot of ways.
Oh, do you help Sigma with like some of the back end stuff? Is that what you're doing?
I was gonna say, there's, you know, we help out with some of the SG back end stuff.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah. As far as getting races inputted and getting them into the system for how, you know, how Sigma's scripting and all scripting stuff parses everything out. We get the team names in there and the format expected so that
I see
everything ties in together.
I see.
And, you know, mad props to Sigma and to Synac and everyone else who puts in the dev work that, you know, makes all that stuff work. Cause that
it's amazing. It's incredible.
Yeah. It's a ton of work and a ton of knowledge there. And it's immensely valuable to the community.
They added Pick'em this season. I can't believe it. Like, I had no idea that was coming, and I saw that on the reveal stream and I just lost my mind. That is super cool. It's all built into the site. No one has to do anything. It's all automated.
Yeah.
And so again, cool.
You know, that's one of those things that's a passion project. That's not something that anyone, you know, that we had to have. It was nice to have, but in the times when people were handling it manually, it just became way too much work to do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's really cool that was something that, you know, not only were they able to make it happen, but to make it happen, you know, the lead time on that was not just, oh, it's a week until the reveal stream, we'll just go ahead and throw this together. Like, right. That took some time and some effort to get done.
For sure. So, it was a very cool surprise. So with the way everything has kind of happened and blown up in the last couple of months, what's your take on how the community is? You've been a part of the community on and off for over 5 years now. What's your take on where we're at with TARC and how things are being handled now?
Things are heading in the right direction. I think, you know, there are little details here and there that I can quibble with, but for the most part, I've tried to be, if anything, I've tried to step away from the legalese and the figuring out the details, because there are a lot of people who really, you know, have strong opinions about that sort of stuff. And whereas I'm pretty good with the flow. You tell me what the rule set is, and as long as it's not ridiculous, I'm going to go with it. I don't, like, Specky Clip was one that, like, I was fine when they banned it. And now that it's been approved, I'm fine that it's been approved. Like, I really just, you know, there are a couple of approved glitches that I think, you know, that you can ask me my opinion on. I could tell you that, hey, I don't think this one should be in. I think it, you know, blah, blah, blah. But end of the day, that's not what this is all about.
Yeah.
It's maybe one that gets an outsized portion of the attention when developments happen there, but that's not what it's all about. And I really think there is a good faith effort by everyone that's been, you know, the admins that were elected, and then by, you know, everyone who's stepping up in the various roles that have come up since then. I think that's what it's about, is reestablishing good faith and trying to, you know, handle things that, you know, for the overall community, so that not every sub community or tournament has to, you know, make decisions, remember which rules are legal, which, you know, all this sort of stuff. Just having a, you know, having that standardized template and then being able to provide the framework for things to continue growing through the community.
Yeah. Do you think it was handled well? Like, I feel like you're quieter on, you're not one of the people in Discord trying to argue your point. And I think what you said about like the glitches and stuff makes it clear, like, you're, it doesn't matter as much to you. And that's not fair to say, like, it matters because it affects you, but you'll go with whatever it feels like the community decides.
I think in any case where there's, you know, something like, say, Specky, where there's completely valid arguments on both sides of it. Yeah. And I don't have, you know, like
a
I said,
super strong opinion.
I don't have a super strong opinion. I kind of came down on the, I was fine with it not being allowed initially. Yeah. And I think that was the side I initially came down on. As time's gone on, you know, I don't think it's going to destroy the meta. As someone who plays a lot of entrants, I think it has more, you know, more potential for affecting things there, but it's not an out and out, like, you know, game changer.
Yeah, it's not breaking cross keys. Like, right. It might affect some seeds, but it's not breaking the game.
Exactly. You know, my complaint with it, if anything, is that there's no real, like, risk reward to it as there is with some other glitches.
Sure.
That have been allowed. But again, we're getting in the weeds here, and that's right. Kind of the opposite of what I think the goal is or should be for, you know, how the council came about.
Sure.
Obviously, I think
it was surprising that it was like so overwhelming that the community wanted it. Right. Like, I think that's kind of, I feel a lot where that you do the same that you do, where it's like, if Icebreaker is illegal, then it's illegal. And if Icebreaker is legal, then I'll do it. And if Aeropot's illegal, then I'll stop Aeropotting. And if it's legal, then I'll Aeropot. Like, it doesn't really matter to me. I'll just play whatever the rules are. And
I was going to say, none of the glitches that have come about in the, you know, at this point, almost 6 years that I've been involved in the community, none of the new glitches have been truly, like, you know, they've all evolved the meta in some small ways. Like, I remember when, you know, the Mimic clip became legal. Mm-hmm. And, you know, oh gosh, who's ever gonna have a seed where they have to climb GT without a bow? And then it doesn't take that long before it happens, given the number of races that right. happen.
Yeah.
And you start seeing things like that, or, you know, they come up and they affect individual races, but you could also go, I've done a couple hundred ladder races. I've done probably dozens of tournament races and other things. You know, I still haven't had a race that I've lost due to not being able to hover.
Mm.
At least not, you know, not directly where I can just sure. say, oh, well, if I could have hovered, I would have won. And because I couldn't, I had, you know, 30 minutes lost due to last locating my, you know, hook shot in Pendant Swamp, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I still have not had a race like that.
Wow.
So, you know, at the end of the day, I think stuff like that gets blown way out of proportion for yeah. how often it actually affects races.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, generally, I think people would be better or not this, that it was going to sound bad. I was going to say, I think, I think,
chill out. People just need to chill out a bit, right?
Yeah.
I think that's basically exactly. just chill out a little bit. Like, and even at the end of the day, like, it's a race in a 35-year-old video game. Like, at worst, you lose your time, right? Like, you're not losing money. We're not playing for anything other than bragging rights.
Right.
And
there's not really, like, you know, there's not esports cred here. There's not sponsorships at stake. I mean, I know right. there's a handful of, you know, we got the Madrinas folks and a few others, but
sure.
you know, in general, we're not pulling, you know, unless you win SGL.
yeah. Yeah. You're not winning a tournament and all of a sudden become an Andy, right? Like, you're not
yeah.
the biggest streamer and doing this full time. You win a tournament and life goes on, right? Like, most people will say, hey, cool, you won a tournament, and then it's over. And it's like, we just need to chill. just chill out a bit, just a little bit.
That's been my reaction to a lot of things, but that's also my reaction to a lot of things outside of the computer screen too. So.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's what makes you a person that people gravitate towards or want to hang out with, is because it's easier to hang out with someone that's chill and cool and relaxed and is here to have a good time and I don't know. I'm drawn to those people for sure.
If anything, I sum up my style of person, or like my personality, as kind of that of the positive shit poster. Which doesn't always happen. Sometimes I put my foot in my mouth for sure. But yeah. In general, I try to be like the guy who's goofing off, but also like in a way that isn't poking fun at someone's expense or anything like that. Like I said, I'm playing this, you know, competitively, but to have fun is the purpose. None of us are getting rich off this. I spent way more on Twitch subs than I've raked in on my own.
100%. Yeah. Yep. Gosh, how much I can't even begin to calculate how much I've
put I refuse to do the math.
It's going to be depressing. It's going to be depressing, man. All right. So having said all of that, let's talk Tilt. How do you handle it, whether it's in the middle of a seed or at the end of a seed, or even not with rando and just in life? How do you handle your Tilt?
So I think how I handle Tilt, at least in rando, is that I've gotten away from kind of the worst of it, I think, in recent years, as I've been doing lower stakes play, at least on my own. But generally, my Tilt comes in not from, oh, I got beaten necessarily, but from, oh, I'm playing below standards, or, oh, I'm making mistakes that are, you know, affecting me. So a particularly bad, you know, boss death or overworld death, that's the kind of thing where it's going to put me in that sort of, in that Tilt state a little bit. And I can, you know, learning to manage that has mostly been being able to recognize it, first of all, take a couple of deep breaths, you know, cleanse the mind as best as possible, and then just, you know, try and refine, you know, get back into the zone of, you know, focusing on either the seed, if I'm having to adjust my route as a result of it, or, you know, just focusing on execution if it's something where I'm retrying a boss or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's tough. It's tough to handle it. And honestly, I'm surprised you get tilted, which is weird to say, right? Because we're all humans and we do get tilted.
Yeah.
But again, your public persona, and I don't want to say that as a way of demeaning who you are, like who you are, because I feel like you're authentic in who you are, is just someone that's so chill. And I always, in my mind, see people that are chill like you and cool as never getting tilted or be able to handle their Tilt. So the fact that you're human, I think, is the big takeaway here.
I do have many human characteristics, yes.
I'm just envious of people like you that are...
Yeah, no, I mean, I definitely have my moments. I have an old controller that has a couple of scars on it from being chucked across the room, you know. Yeah. I certainly there are times where I've dealt with my Tilt less than successfully.
Sure, yeah.
But, you know, for the most part, that's the sort of thing that I've learned to recognize it in myself and kind of being. And that's something that's been true, I think, more broadly for me from a just mental health perspective, is, you know, being more in tune with what my emotions are and, you know, having control over them and not letting them control me. That's something that I've made a lot of progress on. And I guess rando has been one small piece of the way that I've dealt with that. And I guess, you know, recognizing Tilt and some other things like that.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. The recognition of it is such a big step that a lot of us don't realize. Like, you Tilt out, you don't realize that you're tilting out until it's too late, and be able to try to, I don't know, manage it and.
Yeah,
it's tough. It's
even
tough.
Even when you recognizing it is the first step, but even when you recognize it, it's, you know, you have to steer into the skid a little bit sometimes and pull yourself back out of it. But yeah, it is something that I feel like I've improved at. And
that's awesome, man.
That's super helped awesome. Over time. It's you know, just another facet of life, really.
That's cool. Dude, thank you so much for doing the show, man. I had a blast chatting with you I praised you in the beginning. I'm going to praise you in the end. Like, just think you're an awesome dude, a super awesome, valued member of the community that I'm really glad that I got a chance to, you know, hear your story and get to know you.
I appreciate it very much. And, you know, like I said, I really love this community. And as funny as it sounded, the whole way everything went down at the end of the Racing Council and came back together afterwards was was genuinely like one of those beautiful moments. I know not everyone will see it that way, but sure. to me, that was one of those things where everyone kind of came together and there was a kind of a cathartic release in all of that happening that I think the community overall needed. And it reminded me of why I enjoyed why I enjoy being a part of this so much. And it's, you know, a lot more than just my enjoyment of an old video game.
I really like the fact that Will ends his conversation talking about how he wants the best for the community and he likes to see how the community can come together. Just kind of shows how selfless he is and, again, just a really good dude. I really draw to those people. I've had too much negativity in my life to want to waste any time on people that are cynical and negative. So I'm really drawn to people like Will. And I had a really good time talking with him. And I was glad to hear his story. So thanks to Will for coming on the show. Really appreciate it. Next week on the show, we've got James FNX. And James has been around for a long time. And real honest, frank, great conversation that happens there as well. I'm really excited for everyone to hear that one. Really excited for James to have an opportunity to share who he is and his struggles and his thoughts on the community and his thoughts on the game and his approach. It's great. So come back for James FNX next week. Then we're going to wrap this whole season up with Allison. 24 regular season episodes for season 4 and then a whole bunch of bonus stuff. So it's been busy. It's been a busy season. Really appreciate everyone listening. Anyone that takes the time to listen to the show, anyone that takes time to chat in the Discord means a lot. Really does. Speed Gaming Live's coming up in just over a month and I will be there. Got my plane ticket, got my event ticket, got my hotel book. I'm really excited to meet everyone and I don't know if we're going to do any stuff for 216. I don't know if there'll be any interviews or any sort of podcasting, but open to ideas and we'll see. I just want to go and have a good time, play a little rando, eat a little food, have a little drink. We've got a channel in the Discord dedicated to it. So if you're going or are thinking about going and you want to share stuff, then that's the place to be, the 216 Discord. You can get the link to that on 216pod.com. Subscribe to the show wherever you get your podcasts. We're available everywhere. And that's going to do it. Come back next week for James FNX. Thanks for listening. Thank you.